Hello, this is Pastor Cecil A. Thompson, and this is Blessings from the Heart with the message, Teach Me, Lord. In Psalm 111, verse 10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all those who do His commandments. His praise endures forever. As I began to type and to read and to contemplate about the message this week, something struck me, and immediately I was drawn up short. I had started the recording and gave the title, and then started the scripture, and I realized that the scriptural reference I gave was to yesterday's message. I have a habit. I don't know if you have habits or not, but I have habits of using the format from the day before, get the new scripture, but sometimes I fail to change the reference to the scripture. And so I have the previous day's reference, but today's scripture. And I thought, oh, teach me, Lord, to slow down and to contemplate and to think. You know, this applies in so many areas of Scripture. As I look at the Word of God and contemplate the Word of God, I think there's so much here that it's so easy to gloss over and to forget the important things. In our church for the last several months, I have been going through a study in the book of Esther. What a tremendous book that is. It could easily be called the Book of Mordecai, as well as the Book of Esther. But it was the book, I think more accurately, of the power of God. God was in control. At a time when forces that seemed to be manipulating the king to destroy the Jews, God had a plan. God had a purpose. There was an evil man by the name of Haman who should have not been on the face of this earth. If Saul had been faithful to obey God way back hundreds of years earlier, the Amalekites would have been wiped out. That was the will of God, because they had been the enemies of the people of God when they were coming out of Egypt. God was delivering His people, and the Amalekites attacked them. And so when Saul came to power, God gave him the direction to completely destroy the Amalekites. Unfortunately, Saul decided that he would take things into his own hands. He spared the king Agag and the best of all that he laid his eyes on. Haman was an Agagite. It was a descendant of Agag. You see, by not obeying God, the enemy of the Lord arose once again. And now he was in a position to destroy the Jews. That was the aim of the Amalekites from the very beginning. And it seemed like he had the upper hand. He had manipulated himself into a position where he was in the favor of the king. And anything he asked of the king, it seemed like the king would do. And he went in and asked to annihilate a people without identifying who the people was. The strange thing was that he had no idea, Haman I'm speaking of, he had no idea that the queen herself was Jewish. And when he had issued the decree that the Jews be annihilated on a certain day, he was setting a death sentence upon the queen herself. You see, I want to understand what God has in mind. God allowed this decree to be issued, and all over the kingdom, the word had been sent, the message had been given, on a certain day, all of the Jews are to be killed. All of their property is to become seized. And it seemed like God had lost control of things. But God did not lose control of things. And there was a faithful man by the name of Mordecai, the cousin, the surrogate father of Queen Esther, who was so much a part and parcel of the scene and the surroundings of the city gate that he could be there without even people realizing that he was there. And he overheard two men, two guards who were intending to assassinate the king. And he passed the word on to Esther, and Esther then passed the word on to the king, and the king investigated and found that it was true, and those two guards were executed. And it seemed like that was it, that it was all over. But that was only the beginning. You see, Mordecai had his eyes on the Lord, and as the Jews, the faithful Jews, had been all the time since their captivity, they refused to bow their knee to anyone except the Lord God of Israel. Haman, however, wanted all of the people to bow down and fear him, but Mordecai wouldn't, and it enraged him. And so, at the urging of his wife and his friends, he devised an object of execution. In the scripture, it's called a gallows, but hanging was never invented until years and years and years later. It was more like a huge sharpened spike, and he had intended to impale Mordecai on it. But God had a different plan, and at the very time that he was preparing this execution device, the king could not sleep, and he had his servants come in and read to him the chronicles, the recordings of events that had taken place. And as they read, they came to that point in reading the events of the days that had proceeded, that the two men had threatened to kill the king, and king had them executed. And suddenly he said, what was done to honor the man that saved my life? And they said, nothing. And just at that time, here came Haman on the scene. Was that just an accident, a coincidence? Absolutely not. It was God's divine timing. Haman came in so happy because he was going to ask the favor of the king to impale his enemy, Mordecai, on this device that he had created. And as he rushed into the presence of the king, or was bade to enter the presence of the king said, What should we do to honor someone that I want to honor highly? And in his mind, he could think of no one that the king would want to honor more than him. So it must be him. And he said, "Well, have a horse that only the king has ridden, and robes that only the king has worn, and have a very high prince of the land go before her and shout out in a loud voice, this is what is done to the man who the king desires to honor." And the king said, "Great, do that. Take Mordecai, put him on the horse, put my robe on him, and you lead him through the streets." Oh, the degradation, the absolute irony of it all. He had been so happy because he had already been to one of the banquets that Esther had provided, and he was so happy. And Mordecai had made him so angry. And now here he was proclaiming Mordecai to the people in the streets of Susa as the man that the king desired to honor. And when he got home, he was absolutely beside himself. And his wife, who before had encouraged him to execute Mordecai, now said, "Oh, if he is a Jew, and you have now succumbed to him, there's no hope for you." And just at that time, the couriers came to beckon him to that second banquet that Esther had prepared. And all of a sudden, he thought, maybe my fate is turning. He had no idea it was turning all right, but it was turning against him. You see, God was in control. And you know the story. Esther revealed to the king what this wicked man had intended to do. The king had no idea that the people that he wanted to annihilate were the Jews, and his wife was a Jew. Mordecai came to power. Haman came to his end on the very device that he had created to execute his enemy, Mordecai. I need to be taught of the Lord to wait. Just because things might seem to be going against me, God is in control. The people were spared. The enemies of the Jews were the ones that were destroyed. Supernaturally, by the power of God. And all I can say is, teach me, Lord. Teach me to wait upon you. And even though things may seem to be going completely out of control, you are the one that controls all things. You are the blessed controller of everything. Let's pray. Lord, as we come into your presence, we want to be taught by you. We want to rest in you, knowing that you are the one that knows our tomorrows as well as you know our todays and our yesterdays. You know everything about us. You love us. You care for us. Lord, I pray that you would teach me and teach others to rely upon you and rest in you and trust in you and find from you everything that we need for our life. We pray this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Blessings, dear hearts. Walk with God today and be a blessing. This is Pastor Cecil.